Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Wood, and with me once again is the recognisable voice of the Texans herself, DP Sidhu. DP, thank you very much for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Thank you for having me on again.
No, thank you very much for joining us once again. And of course, it's been, well, let's be honest, it's been a very busy week or so in the world of the NFL, so let's jump straight into it with free agency. How do you feel so far about the Texans' moves?
You know, free agency, I feel like it's been going on a really long time, and yet it feels like it just started yesterday. But I think position-wise, the Texans have sort of attacked in the way that we thought they would. We thought they would try to address some of their secondary needs. We thought they might look at a backup quarterback, you know, some O-line help. They've certainly done all those things, maybe not with the names that people want to see. People want to see big, splashy free agent signings. Some of the guys that are out there, I just don't think that's their strategy. I think that's been evident through the first 2 weeks of free agency. They don't want to be the team that, you know, pays the highest for any particular player at a position, especially one that never stepped foot in the building before, because you never know how that player is going to work out for this team. I think they're definitely more interested in building the team from within the draft and producing their own talent and paying their guys. But even with that being said, the Tyrann Mathieu and Kareem Jackson, you know, those guys went out and they got paid some big money by some other teams. I think the Texans wanted to keep Tyrann. They wanted, you know, in on some of the other free agent signings. But I just don't think that they're willing to break the bank for anybody. They kind of know what they want to do, and they have a strategy, and they're definitely sticking to it.
So that strategy, how do you feel about it personally? Do you think it's the right way to go about it, going through the draft primarily and then only paying a certain amount for the players that you know you can trust and perhaps lowering that bar ever so slightly for players that you haven't seen before? How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, in the few years that I've been here, I've seen free agency go both ways. I mean, I was here obviously when my first year in the building was when Ed Reed was here. So, you know, big splashy free agent signing, and everybody was so excited to see Ed Reed out and about. I remember the rodeo was going on, and you know, I was actually working at another radio station before I joined here, and people were calling in and reporting where exactly they saw Ed Reed. They thought they saw him at the rodeo, or they thought they saw him about, you know, around town and about. And it was certainly very exciting for free agency, but then once the season started and, you know, he underwent surgery and then he just wasn't healthy, and he obviously was not the same Ed Reed that people wanted him to be here for the Texans that he was with the Ravens. You know, that was disappointing. As you know, we all remember the Brock Osweiler signing. I couldn't step foot out of my house without people coming up to me. They were so excited about that. But you know, we paid a big hefty lump sum of money for Brock Osweiler because they needed a solution at the quarterback position. Obviously that didn't work out. So you know, I think I've seen it go both ways. Last year they got Tyrann Mathieu here, who he'd even admitted that he'd gotten higher offers from other teams. But he wanted to come to Houston on a one-year prove-it deal and then to go on and make his money elsewhere. And I think it's really interesting how the dynamics of free agency has changed, because some of the guys that we've signed, you know, I think that they had a lot of promise earlier in their career. Maybe they're coming off of a little bit of a down season, and they want to sign that one-year deal for a reasonable amount of money. They know when they come here, they're going to be playing with a contender, whether it's on offense or defense. There's playmakers on both sides of the ball. They're hoping that it'll sort of jumpstart their career. They can make either a big money with the Texans in the future in a long-term contract, or maybe another team will sign them. And we saw that happen with Tyrann Mathieu. So, I mean, I'm more than happy if players want to come here on a one-year deal, because I think that guys that are on that one-year prove-it deal, they're definitely going to play their hearts out, you know, as long as they stay healthy, because they've obviously got something to prove. And then, you know, you had Tyrann Mathieu come here last year, and then you really hit it big in the draft with Justin Reed, a third rounder who really should have gone much earlier than that. And, you know, you've got someone like him. He got to learn with a guy like Tyrann Mathieu along with Kareem Jackson. And now he's here as someone that, you know, you're going to sort of build your safety position around, and you've got Andre Howell as well. So, I mean, I'm not opposed to the strategy. We've seen other teams employ it as well. Like the Patriots are not going to break the bank for even their own players. You know, they'll bring guys on one-year deals or two-year deals, and then, you know, they like to keep their comp picks, their compensatory picks. They don't like to give those up too often. So it's an interesting strategy. I think that last year worked out well for them. I think this year we're going to have to sort of wait and see what I think about the strategy is anyway, because I think if any of these guys pan out for them, or at least offer depth or can start some games and then they do well in the draft, I mean, it's definitely going to be worth employing this strategy moving forward. Now, Brian Gain, he's he's a Bill Parcells product. So, you know, I think the way he does things is going to be very different. But I think more and more you're not seeing a whole lot of successful teams pay a lot of money for one or two players. They like to build their own through the draft.
So do you think perhaps not breaking the bank on certain players, I mean, whether they're players that the Texans will know well, such as Tyrann Mathieu, or players that they don't know so well, such as, say, Trent Brown, do you think perhaps they've actually sort of dodged a bullet, in a sense, by not going down that route?
I mean, only time will tell. I know last year there was Nate Solder, who everybody wanted the Texans to draft, the Patriots tackle and pay him a lot of money. And while they were in on that, he obviously didn't end up playing here. And then he didn't have a great season, so they did dodge a bullet last year. So with Trent Brown, I think, you know, if he plays really, really well this year, then, you know, everyone, you know, there will be that hindsight is 2020. But I'm hoping that the Texans get somebody in the draft and, you know, they can build some competition at the spot, because do you really want to be the team that is, you know, paying the offensive tackle the most money out of all the other teams? I think they kind of know that they've got to sort of budget their money wisely. They want to sign Clowney. You know, they're saying that they want to work on a long-term contract with Clowney. They extend the franchise tag to him. So, you know, they've got other fish to fry as far as in the building. And, you know, I think they want to focus on that for the short term, at least, anyway. But I mean, I don't know if they dodged a bullet or not. It's going to be hard to tell until we see how all these free agents pan out. I just know that in 2011, you know, everybody wanted, you know, a certain player to come here, and he wasn't available. And then they got Jonathan Joseph. And that was probably one of the most successful free agent signings, I think, in our franchise's history, because he's still with the team. He started a lot of games. They also had Daniel Manning that year. So, you know, I think it's sort of a wait and see approach. I think that Brian Gain, this will be his second draft, really his first draft with a first and second round pick. So I'm really excited to see what he does with that. And I think we'll have to wait and see how it turns out this time next year. But I know fans really want to see those big splashy signings, and those just haven't happened yet. But I think that, you know, it's one thing to be excited in the off season, but when things don't pan out during the season, then you know, that's when the disappointment sets in. And I think the Texans are trying to play it a cautious by not overpaying for anyone where they don't really know what they're getting themselves into.
Absolutely. I must admit, I do quite like, so for example, bringing in Matt Khalil as well and players like that. They're low risk, high reward deals at the end of the
day.
Exactly. So, and you can't really ask for much more than that. You could bring in the bigger names that would cost more, but at the end of the day, is it really worth the risk? Like you mentioned, there's no real way of knowing now. It's all going to be in hindsight. But I do think it's a very safe strategy, but I do think it's the right way to go for the moment, because if you take into consideration the amount of picks the Texans have got this draft, they've got a huge amount of wiggle room there to work with, and they could bring in a great amount of talent this year in the draft. And Brian Gain, he proved last year what he can do with the few picks he had last year, so it'll be really interesting to see who he can bring in this year. So moving back to the free agents, Boddy Calhoun and Roby in particular, I find quite interesting, because neither of them seem to have really lived up to expectations in their previous destination. So do you think, can you see them being impactful this year? Or do you think at the end of the day, we should focus more on the players that he drafts in for those positions?
You know, I think it's interesting. Both of those guys, both corners, Bradley Roby, Breanne Boddy Calhoun, you know, Johnny Harris and I, we were talking about this. He's our football analyst. And, you know, we were discussing on the radio, and he brought up a good point that it seems that this year, all the free agents that Brian Gain has brought into this building that they've signed, they fulfill a very distinct need. So while on the field, they may be coming off a down season, they've got something to prove. They all have something that they do really, really well, like a very specific trait. And like for Roby, for instance, it's playing man-to-man. For Boddy Calhoun, he can play or cover inside. So Tashawn Gibson, the safety, you know, he's very well known for covering tight ends. Like, that's what he does well. So I think that the free agents they're bringing in, it's interesting that there's one thing that they all do really well. And I'm curious to see how that's going to fit in with their draft strategy. You know, maybe they draft a guy that can do more than that, but then they've got guys that, you know, these have been issues in the past the Texans have struggled with. Ever since A.J. Boye departed for the Jacksonville Jaguars, this team has sort of struggled to find somebody in the secondary that can successfully cover tight ends the way that Boye did. So you bring in a guy like you know, to Sean Gibson. And while he may not be the next AJ Boyer, you know that that's a strength of his. So, you know, Romeo Crennel, I'm sure, is going to find a way to utilize all these guys to their strengths. You know, when he first became defensive coordinator, people were saying, well, how is he going to have J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney on the field at the same time? It'll never work. And certainly he's found a way to employ both and get the most out of both of those guys. So I think it's interesting that the free agents they're bringing in fulfill certain needs. I think that, you know, only they know what their draft strategy is. They obviously know who they're looking at in the draft and what's available in the draft. But, you know, to your point, I think that it doesn't preclude anything. You know, I wouldn't count out the fact that they're going to still draft more cornerbacks or, you know, another offensive lineman. Matt Khalil, you know, he's dealt with his issues of staying healthy on the field. Now, while he can stay healthy, and if he can, you know, that's great. Otherwise, you know, he's a veteran presence, and maybe he can be a stopgap in a few games if there are injuries. He certainly saw a lot of injuries on the O-line in the last few years, so you definitely want to have some veteran presence there. It seems like all the tackles in this offensive line room are very young, and all these guys have had their upside. They've played in the National Football League. They know how to be professionals. I think, you know, with free agency, it's better to spread out your money far and wide and try to bring in, you know, cast a wide net, bring in a lot of different players that fit different needs rather than spend all your money on one guy that may or may not work out, you know. So I think the free agents that they've got so far, I'm very curious. I think Bradley Roby in that Super Bowl with Denver, you know, how impressive was he as a rookie? And you know, you hope that a guy like that can sort of get back up to that level again, as does he. I'm sure he wants to sort of get back to that playing level as well. Tyrann Mathieu, you know, he was healthy for all 16 games, and he showed that he's still very much a player, plays hard. He's out there, and he doubled his salary in just 1 year's worth of play. So I certainly hope out of all these guys that at least a few of them can be big impact players this year for the Texans.
Absolutely. And Gibson in particular is someone I'm personally looking forward to seeing. An experienced player. He'll be a good presence in that locker room, a good replacement in a way for the likes of Jackson and Mathieu. Obviously, you're losing a huge chunk of leadership in that locker room, but I think he'll be a fantastic, obviously a Texas native, as a lot of people know. So I think that's going to be really interesting to see someone that experienced and someone he's just a very, very steady signing, if that makes sense. He'll be a solid figure in that backfield, I think. But what interests me is, do you feel that is he a replacement sort of directly for Tyrann Mathieu, or do you think we may end up seeing more of Andre Hal as a result of a slightly older replacement coming in?
I mean, I think it just depends on the formation, but I think this coaching staff loves what they see in Andre Hal. He played only 8 games last year. He tied for a team high 3 interceptions in just 8 games. I mean, that's how many Justin Reed had, and he played in all 16 games. So I think they definitely like that duo of Reed and Hal. So I see them probably getting the bulk of the plays. I think Gibson, you know, if it depends on the matchups. I think if we are playing, obviously you've heard the news about Rob Gronkowski, but, you know, some of these bigger tight ends that are harder to cover, I can definitely see them throwing another safety in the mix or using a rotation that's beneficial for them. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, he's got great leadership. They certainly know what he can do being in the division. He's played against this team twice a year, and this team has played him twice a year, so they know what he's able to do. So I don't know if I can say for sure, you know, who he's going to replace, but I do think that they like what they've seen out of Andre Hal and out of Justin Reed. So I expect a lot more out of those two guys moving forward.
So with this first sort of wave of free agency out the way and the second wave pretty much done as well for the moment, I think people are getting a much better idea now of the team structures that we'll be seeing for next year. And we may see some more releases coming up soon or players opening up onto the trading block. So do you feel that the Texans may end up trading for perhaps O-line help or secondary help over the coming weeks?
I mean, I wouldn't say anything is off the table at this point. I just don't, I wouldn't discount anything, but I don't know if they'd be willing to give up picks, because I think what we've seen is Brian Gain really likes having those draft picks, because I think when you're wanting to build through the draft, then that kind of goes against your strategy to trade away those picks for someone that you don't really know how he's going to fit in the locker room and how he's going to work out for this team. So I just don't see them giving up a lot of picks to bring someone outside. Now in the draft, I could see him moving down. I really couldn't see him moving up and giving up picks, but I think if he moves down and gets some more picks and stockpiles them, and then he has some more players to choose from, because you really never know in the draft who's going to hit, right? I mean, a third rounder could hit like Justin Reed, a first rounder could hit. You know, a first rounder could be a bust. You just don't know. I think, you know, it's better to draft as many players as possible. All these scouts, the work that they do, it's really just an extrapolation of how well they think they're going to perform in the NFL based on what they did in college. But you really just don't know until a player is in the NFL how well he's going to do. So I think it's best if, you know, they draft as many players as they can that they think can help the team, can provide competition at every position, at every level, and then just go from there. So while I don't think a trade is off the table, I just don't think it, I think it kind of is counterintuitive to their draft strategy at this point.
I definitely agree that I can see them moving down because obviously, Bryant, that they want to build through the draft. We all know this. And there's some fantastic talent in this draft. There really is. I know initially before the combine, the sort of overwhelming sentiment was that the certain positions weren't overly deep, but after the combine with the pro days out the way and everything, there's some fantastic late-round receivers, some late-round corners, offensive tackles, linemen in general. There's some really, really good talent deeper down this draft. So if the Texans can get hold of some more draft picks, I can definitely see them doing so. But finally, slightly off topic, I must admit, but in the news yesterday, J.J. Watt brought up the fact that he, and he's mentioned this before, he would love it if the Titans were to give up the rights to the Oilers jersey so the Texans could use them as their throwbacks. I had to ask this to you. How do you feel? how do you feel about this?
You know, I think everybody in Houston, when I moved to Houston, it was the Oilers last year in the NFL. So 96, I moved here, and I remember I went to an Oilers game at the Astrodome against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which was such a rivalry back in the day. But the game that I went to, unfortunately, since it was the Oilers last season, it was really sad. The dome was sort of half empty. You know, everybody knew the Oilers were leaving, and it was five long years without football here. So I think, you know, the people in this city definitely love their Oilers. They want to see them blended together with the Texans. But I know that working within this organization, it's a very different brand. And, you know, while the rights to the Oilers have gone to the Titans, the Texans have done a really good job of establishing themselves as a completely separate franchise from the Titans. I actually did a podcast last week with our senior VP of marketing, Jennifer Davenport. And, you know, I was asking her about these throwback jerseys, how people always, every year, I said, I see on Twitter, people want to have some sort of throwback jersey with Oilers colors. And, you know, she brought up a good point that the Texans are really more of like a baby franchise. You know, they're in their infancy. They have not been around as long as like the Packers or the Bears, who've been around for 100 years. So they want to establish, you know, their own brand, their own logo, their own everything before they really start, you know, messing with it too much and adding, you know, different flair. That's just the personality of this organization, of this franchise. I think every team has its own, but generally in the NFL, it's not like college where you see a different jersey, a different helmet color every week. So after talking to her, I just sort of felt like maybe that is probably way further down the road than what we think. And, you know, I think if the Oilers did give up the rights, or, you know, the Titans did give up the rights to the Oilers, I think that's a very complicated process because, I mean, I've been to Nissan Stadium. They've got all the Oilers players, the Ring of Fame around their stadium. It's part of their history now, so it'd be quite a lot to turn over. But, you know, I think it'd be kind of cool to see some different Texans jerseys. I know we're going to see more of those Color Rush jerseys moving forward as we did last year.
Absolutely. I'd love to see what they've got.
I know that doesn't make the Oilers fans very happy to hear that, but that's my thought on that.
I was about to say, I wonder how a lot of the Oilers fans are going to feel about Oilers history currently being hung up in Nissan Stadium, but I guess we'll have to wait and see about that one. I think it's definitely, I completely understand where you're coming from, and it's very true, the Texans are still very much a baby franchise, but let's be perfectly honest, those Oilers jerseys were something else. They were easily some of the best that we've seen in the NFL, so it is a real shame that we can't just the ones.
That Columbia blue was just, you know, it's just so eye-catching. You know, I know the Astros, when I moved to Houston, the Astros, they were on their navy blue and gold jerseys. And then they brought back, and I remember everybody would wear their orange, rainbow colored colors. And they, you know, said, why can't we bring back those old throwback Astros jerseys? And they did do that. So I think people just love nostalgia. They love throwbacks. And, you know, with the Texans not having been around that long, the throwback is the Oilers. So it's totally understandable. Like, I love a good throwback as well. So I don't know. I think you could probably get your hands on some merchandise, but it probably wouldn't be official team gear.
Well, I mean, we've seen JJ and we've seen Deshaun both wear turn up in Oilers jersey. So I guess we can always have a little bit of hope going forward. Who knows? But no, I think it would definitely be interesting to see what they've got in terms of Color Rush jerseys coming up in the coming years.
No, I said definitely. I think the Color Rush jerseys, you know, we saw them in 3 games last year. I think we'll see them some more this year. The Texans, they've been doing Color Rush since before Color Rush was a thing. That's what our senior VP of marketing was telling me, because they have the monochromatic, the all red unis, the all deep steel blue, the all white. You know, that's basically what Color Rush is, right? It's just a monochromatic look. And the Texans have been sort of been doing that with their themes throughout. But I know these Color Rush jerseys, fans just love a little twist on something. But, you know, it still keeps their logo and, you know, keeps the integrity of their logo there. So you definitely know it's still a Texans jersey.
Oh, you definitely. I mean, the Texans, you've got to say, they've been ahead of the game for a while now. If you consider the amount of times, say the Jags, for example, have had to change their uniform in the last few years, because let's be honest, the last couple of versions weren't eye-catching in the best of ways, and the Texans really haven't had that problem. So they've definitely been ahead of the game in that regard. So I think it's going to be interesting going forward what they can come up with.
Definitely.
Well, DP, thank you very much for joining me once again. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, as always.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Anthony.
Where can our listeners find you on Twitter, social media, etc.?
Yeah, you can catch me on Twitter. I'm at Deep Slant. I'm also on Texans All Access on Tuesday nights, but we have Texans All Access every night of the week, Monday through Friday. You can download our Texans app and you can listen to the radio every day. We'll have the latest on free agency. Actually, this week, the NFL owners meetings are taking place, and Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Texans, he's in Arizona for those. So you'll hear Bill O'Brien's comments on the rule changes and what his thoughts on free agency and the draft moving forward are. We'll have those you know, all those interviews coming up on our shows this week. So you'll definitely want to tune in for that.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I look forward to it.
Thanks, Anthony.
And thank you very much to our listeners. I've been your host, Anthony Wood. Find me on Twitter, @AR_WoodNFL. And make sure to follow us at TexansWire.com. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll hear from you soon.